Tahoe, 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, developing news from Israel, where Prime Minister Netanyahu accuses Hamas of holding up Israeli approval of a new agreement for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release by reneging on parts of the deal and trying to extort last-minute concessions. These women in Jerusalem weighed in on the agreement.
This has to be the only choice that we take in order to continue surviving as a state and as a nation.
I don't trust that they will bring back the other hostages.
The BBC's John Donison says the fighting continues for now.
We had news of a rocket being fired out of Gaza this morning. We've had 20 people killed overnight since the deal was announced in Gaza. And of course, for the families of the hostages who have been pushing for this deal for months now, well, their loved ones are still not out.
President Biden bade a final farewell to the nation in an Oval Office address. CBS's Linda Kenyon from the White House.
He repeated some of his familiar themes.
People should be able to make as much as they can, but play by the same rules. Pay their fair share of taxes.
The president also outlined some of his accomplishments, referencing the infrastructure bill.
It will take time to feel the full impact of all we've done together, but the seeds are planted.
He also said there are some matters that give him great concern, like unchecked power, oligarchy, and an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation.
Firefighters in Southern California are hoping to take advantage of calmer winds today to get a better handle on the deadly wildfires burning in and around L.A. But CBS's Tom Hansen says the weather isn't expected to cooperate for long.
The reprieve is going to be short-lived. The National Weather Service says that early next week, the Santa Ana winds could come back, particularly on Monday.
Jeff Bezos' new Glenn rocket has reached orbit.
5, 4.
It got off the ground from Cape Canaveral this morning, carrying technology to service satellites in space. The flight will also gauge Blue Origin's ability to compete with SpaceX. A day after President Biden announced he intended to lift Cuba's designation as a state sponsor of terrorism, a human rights watchdog says more than a dozen people have been released from prison there. They include a tattoo artist who protested against the Cuban government. The U.S. government is taking a low-cost air carrier to court.
The U.S. Transportation Department is suing Southwest Airlines, alleging it has illegally operated, chronically delayed flights, and disrupted passengers' travel plans. The agency has also fined Frontier Airlines for the same issue.
Correspondent Jim Krasula, S&P Futures up 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter. On the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won 4 of their last 5. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last 5 or 6 games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterback's coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man, great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some fun indoor entertainment, given the frigid temperatures on the way, here are some movies that might interest you. There continues to be no shortage of horror films, and if that is your genre of choice, check out a new take on the age-old classic Wolfman, starring Julia Garner of Ozark fame. Also opening in wide release is the comedy One of Them Days, starring Kiki Palmer and musical artist SZA, which tells the story of two roommates scrambling to pull rent money together. At the time of this reading, the film is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes
and SZA's acting chops have impressed critics. Coleman Domingo's role continues. The film Sing Sing will be re-released this weekend. And if you happen to be incarcerated, you're in luck as well. The film will be playing in correctional facilities all across America, and that makes sense since Sing Sing tells the story of teaching rehabilitation through the arts and is almost a perfect audience and critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. I think we will see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. Less windy, too. Our high today right around 30. Tonight, down to 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, 35. And then, hang on, it's going to get really cold as we head into the last half of the weekend and into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, stalk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Peach Wabba.
Welcome, Wisconsin. This is Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on what a day that almost seems tropical compared to yesterday. I'm not going to lie. What do you think, Conrad? It was nicer today.
It's still really cold.
You live in Wisconsin, buddy. What do you expect?
You know,
embrace it.
You know how I know it's like winter's in full effect now? Is today I sneezed and my nose started bleeding.
Oh, that's a lot of information.
Because it's so dry.
So dry.
Just a normal sneeze. I was like,
that's horrible.
There it goes.
I know. That's just the worst. You got a humidifier? You have a humidifier?
Yeah, I do.
Have that, right? This is Nightlight. It's great to have you wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome. We have a great show tonight. We will try to warm you up with insightful conversation with great guests tonight. Maybe we'll have a laugh or two along the way. We'll talk about some music and the goings-on in the business we call show. It is Wednesday, and I don't know, a Wednesday in mid-January, it's just like, I don't want to sound like a downer, but that is pretty much the suckiest time of year.
Yeah.
There's no gelato. If I wanted gelato right now, I couldn't even go next door and get gelato.
I don't even know where you could get gelato right now.
I don't want gelato right now. I'm just saying, if I wanted gelato, are they even open? Like, can you even go there and get coffee?
I think they closed for the season.
Oh, man, that's just so Bush League. All right, we have a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about storytelling tonight. We've got kind of a theme. We've got storytellers on the show as guests. Both of them, don't ask me how I did this, folks, both of them have a connection to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Some might argue the UP should actually be part of Wisconsin, if you look at a map.
I agree.
Would that make us a greater state, or would it not really matter? I mean, the UP is a beautiful place. And some great movies have been shot there. We've had our first guest tonight, Jody Hinman, is about the fourth author we've had from the UP since we've been on the air. And Northern Wisconsin has a lot of authors, too. I don't know what the connection is, but that just seems like a great place for creative people to go and think of ideas and write books. Jody Hinman is our guest at 6:35. She will be in studio. She and her husband, Chris, made the drive down from the UP. That is dedication. She has a new book. It's called The Hole They Dug. Let me double check that. The Hole They Dug for Me. I closed my browser, Conrad. I got nothing in front of me. What is happening?
like you trying start. To say British before.
The Hole They Dug for You. I couldn't say the word British. Yeah, every once in a while I have trouble focusing on a word. And it was coming out like British. Finally, though, I nailed it. I nailed the word. Jody Hinman is here, folks, at 6:35. She is an author who just recently got her first book published. It's called The Hole They Dug for You, a novel. And it's gotten pretty good reviews so far. It's out there for your consumption, just recently released. I've known Jody for a few years now. She is a great girl, and I'm very excited for her to have her first book published. She'll be here in just a few minutes, and we'll talk to her about the book, and we'll let you know where you can get it. Who doesn't love a good mystery? When I read, I don't read anymore. I'm not a reader. I was an English major when I was younger, and I was a voracious reader. But I have no attention span anymore. So I don't read as much, but when I do read, I love mysteries. And Jody's book is a good mystery. So we'll discuss that at 6:35. And then, Conrad, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. I know Conrad's excited for our second guest, as am I. I'm more excited to have our second guest on to talk to him as a filmmaker. Conrad, I think, likes the Packer angle more. Either way, it's going to be great to have this guy on the show. Anders Lindwall will be here. He's the director of Green and Gold, a new film that will be coming to theaters July 31st. And there is a Packer connection. A farmer, played by Craig T. Nelson, bets everything, bets the farm, literally, on the Packers. And Anders got a great cast for this film. He is also a native UPite. Is that how we say that? Anders.
Uper?
Uper? Yeah, Uper is the way to go, I think. UPite is awkward and clunky. Yeah. Uper is familiar. Anders will be here at 7:30 over the stream. I can't wait to talk to him. He got Brandon Sklenar in this film. Brandon is in the show 1923. He plays kind of this badass Dutton. 1923 is a spinoff of Yellowstone, in my opinion, much better than Yellowstone. A really good show. Season 2 drops in February, and Brandon is one of the stars of that show, and he's kind of the coolest character on the show, in my opinion, but he's a real up-and-comer, and he is in Green and Gold, along with Craig T. Nelson. M. Emmett Walsh, I want to say this is M. Emmett Walsh's last movie before he passed away last year. Emmett Walsh is probably best known for slapping the rubber glove on and giving Fletch the the exam of, how do you say that? What's a tasteful way to say anal cavity? But Emmett Walsh is in the film, Madison Lawler, Charlie Behrens, I think, has a cameo. It looks like a great film, a serious Packer connection, and Anders is a director that is on the rise. I think, I don't know if this is his first feature film. We'll ask him about that. He's got other credits, but I know he's done some commercial work. And this film has been very well received, though, and I'm very excited to see it. It hits theaters January 31st, so we'll talk to Anders at 7:20. A fun show. That leaves us, folks. I don't think we should mess around anymore. Let's get to the question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the worst name for a band? The worst name ever that you've heard. I'll go first. They had a couple tunes I really liked in the 90s, but Toad the Wet Sprocket.
What?
That's the name of the band, Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I don't know where it came from. I actually meant to Google it earlier. But they had a great song called All I Want in the 90s. It's such a bad name.
I wonder how they got that.
Wet Sprocket would have been better. Toad would have been better. Toad Sprocket. But Toad the Wet Sprocket. Hard to say, too long, terrible name. No offense to Toad the Wet Sprocket. I know they're big listeners of the show. But what do you think? There's some terrible band names out there. Conrad, do you have one?
I have one that's not real, but it's hilarious because it was in my favorite show, How I Met Your Mother.
Are you biased then because of that? Or
maybe. But it is a terrible name. And the guy who says it doesn't realize that it's bad. So this episode,
like, realize what it means.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in this episode, Simon, he's a ex-boyfriend of Robin, and he wants to get back together. And they're all of them are around the table, and he's in a band. So they ask, "Oh, what's your band name?" He goes, "The Foreskins." And then they look at each other, and they're like, "How'd you get that name?" He gives them a look like, "Okay, these guys are stupid." He goes, "Well, there's four of us, and we don't wear shirts.
I laugh at guys that are clueless and don't know that they said something that is related to penis somehow. It just makes me laugh when people are that clueless. That's a good one. That's actually not a terrible band name, because it's like a lot of band names are kind of sexual or have to do with love or sex or whatever. I Googled terrible band names, and I don't understand like the criteria. They have Goo Goo Dolls. Not great. Creedence Clearwater Revival. I don't hate that. Def Leppard. That's not a bad. Maybe not great, but they've had hits. So I guess you don't care. You don't really question the name when they've had success. Green Day. I actually like that band name. Nickelback. I don't know what that means, but there's nothing wrong with that name. There's one band name that comes up in the Google search, Anal Vomit.
Yeah.
Do you just want people to hate your songs?
I don't know where they'd get that from.
I have an idea. Bowling for Soup. Okay. There's like some band names probably are just thought of and they think, well, we'll think of something else later. And then they have a hit and it's like, oh, we can't change our terrible band name. Creed. I like that name too. Dogs Die in Hot Cars. These are the Google results that come up. Chumbawamba, awful. Limp Bizkit. That's probably some kind of sexual thing I'm not aware of. But there's a lot of bad band names out there.
Hootie and the Blowfish?
Hootie and the Blowfish. Kind of weird.
Oh yeah, where did the Blowfish come from?
Well, Blowfish is a thing. Hootie's a guy who likes to surround himself with Blowfish. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's a great one.
Yeah, how is that one bad?
I don't know. The Square Roots?
The Sex Pistols?
Sex Pistols. That's obviously, come on. Use your imagination, right? Mookie Blaylock. Here's a question for you. Do you know what band originally was named Mookie Blaylock?
No.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, really?
They were a fan of the basketball player Mookie Blaylock, and they settled on Pearl Jam, which is another, also a sexual thing. So there you go. Rock and roll bands are rooted in kind of risque terminology, but some of the names work. Radiohead, great name.
Here's another basketball player that could work as a name.
Yeah.
Spud Webb.
Spud Webb?
That would be a cool band name.
How about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I don't think they'd get to the point there at every.
There's a lot of. Okay. So let us know. What is your least favorite band name? What's the worst band name? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. You can text us on the app, the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded it, folks, what are you waiting for? So easy to use. There's just a little icon there. You hit it and text us and get a hold of us one way or the other, but just get a hold of us. We love when you participate in the show. I said that on purpose, by the way. That wasn't like my British. I'm still having trouble saying
you're
British.
Having word soup today, you know.
British. There we go. All right, I can go to break knowing I said the word properly. Really fun show tonight. Green and Gold director Andrews Linwall will be here. Author Jody Hinman. Two UP-based wonderful human beings. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Begin to pound, so you're tired, just want to close your eyes, follow your dream down. We made a promise, it's what we always remember.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks.
are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. We were talking about fasting last night, and I got a message from Todd Michaels, the producer of Mino and the Mayor, who said he's been fasting. And that was a really fun segment with Sherry Stoka, who told us the benefits and the not so great benefits of fasting. And I am a proponent of it. I think it's great. And I had no idea Todd was doing it. He said it's been good for him, too. I guess it's different for everybody, but that was a fun discussion. What's the longest you think you could go without eating food?
Oh, I've done some fasts before in college, actually, but I don't know.
What was the occasion? The longest, just trying to drop weight?
I think the longest I went was like 12 or 13 hours.
It's not that long.
No.
Anyway,
I don't know if I need to risk anything with doing a full 24 hour, you know?
That is such an American. I can't go 14 hours without food. I'll die. But
I was worried I was going to like pass out or something, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I was scared the first time I did it. I was like, how is this gonna affect me? What if I like faint, or what if I the first time I did it, I did like a 36 hour fast, and it felt, just because of the sense memory of food and taking in food on a regular basis, I felt hunger pangs. But once you do it, it's not that hard.
How much water did you drink?
Probably 60 to 70 ounces for the day. Some people go crazy with water. I don't. I feel like, you know, every time there's a craze and something comes out 6 months later, 2 years later, whatever, like, oh, wait, actually, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to drink 4,000 gallons of water a day because it taxes the kidneys. So I try to get enough water. I try to, on a typical day, drink about 50 to 60 ounces, which I think is less than they say you should drink, but is enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they say that if you drink enough water, like you should, you shouldn't be getting those cravings.
Right. And fasting's not that tough either, because you can drink coffee, tea, water. I mean, and if you stay busy, it's not bad. The minute you feel yourself start to get hungry, you just get up and get moving. It really does help. Our question tonight is, what is the worst band name? For me, Toad the Wet Sprocket. I don't even know what it means. It just bothers me, and it's always bothered me since the 90s, even though I liked a couple of their tunes. They're a good band. That's a bad name. Conrad, Conrad likes the Foreskins, but you actually, that was your least favorite band name. That would have come out all wrong.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad name for
a band. Jameson from the 814. We haven't heard from Jameson for a while. Good to have you back, Jameson. He says, it's not the best name, but Toad is great. I've seen them live many times, and they opened for my favorite band, Guster, this year. That's crazy. So they're still touring. He says, worst band name, Hoobastank, as well as the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. I don't know what Cherry Poppin' Daddy's really flows and it's cool, but it sounds bad. So I'll put that on the list. That's an old band though, I think. Hoobastank though, man, that's awful. Those are great ones, Jameson. Toad the Wet Sprocket still out there, still gigging. Monica in Mount Horeb says, Hole always gave me a gross visual. Mott the Hoople always seemed odd to me. Just looked it up. It was the name of a book. Okay. That's a good one. Anna from Madison says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. The worst band name is Kajagoogoo, an English pop band from 1983. I remember them, Anna, and they sang the song Too Shy. And I actually liked that song. But yeah, Kajagoogoo. Again, I think these people, they get together, they have a couple jam sessions, and they're like, hey, wouldn't it be goofy if we named our band this? And then it ends up sticking. No pun intended for the Goo-Goo. But yeah, those are good too. Thank you, Anna. Steady Eddie, a little early tonight. Steady Eddie must have set his alarm for the show. He says, no worries, Pete. I've always believed that any man or woman who can only spell or pronounce a word in one way lacks imagination, skill, and creativity. I think of you, Pete, as the Picasso of wordsmithing. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Steady Eddie. Even though I can't say British. Steady Eddie continues saying, for lack of creativity for a band name, how about The Band? Yes. Not much thought went into that. The Band. Conrad's mom checking in says, I don't like names that you can't pronounce. Like when Prince changed his name to a symbol. Oh, that's really good. Yeah, that one makes no sense whatsoever. What do you do with that too? It's just like, that's just someone getting famous enough where they can say, I can do whatever I want. I can change my name to something that makes no sense and make my fans' lives miserable. I love Prince, but yeah, I totally agree. Steve from Florida, he's in the 920, says, Grandma Krieger says, worst band name in history, the Rolling Stones. Just joking. Oh, I was about to, I was about to have words with your dad.
Yeah.
That would have been weird. Good joke, though. He says, worst band name, the Butthole Surfers. Punk rock group from the early 80s. Yeah.
Can't say I heard of them.
Oh, really? I remember them in college. Yeah, the Butthole Surfers. That's just, but that, you know, when people form bands, they're young and stupid, have some musical talent, you combine those two, you're going to get band names like the Butthole Surfers. So there you go. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is the worst band name? I say Toad the Wet Sprocket. Conrad says the Foreskins. Steve says the Rolling Stones, but he's just kidding. But let us know what you think. Always more fun when you guys participate and join Nightlight. What is the worst band name ever? Have you been following the Tom Brady stuff, his announcing foils?
I mean, not. I didn't go into it after yesterday when we talked about it, to
All right.
be honest.
I bring it up again because I just submitted an article. It'll be on civicmedia.us. Part of the fun for me is the comments. When people go crazy, they get irate that Tom Brady is messing up. Like they expect more out of an ex-jock. I don't get it. And some of these, one of the comments I said, the guy says, proud sports fan here. What are you proud of?
Proud sports
fan. Doesn't take anything to be a sports fan. I'm a proud get dresser every day. I get dressed every day. Doesn't make any sense. All right. We have a fun show tonight, if you haven't already guessed. If the listening so far hasn't indicated that this is going to be a killer show, you're in for a treat. Jody Himnan joins me next after Civic Media. Pardon me. Award-winning news team keeps you informed. Jody will be here talking about her book, a new book. She is a first-time published author, which is exciting. The Hole They Dug for You will be. And then Anders Lindwall will be here at 7:20 talking about his new film, Green and Gold, which opens January 31st. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show. CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accuses Hamas of holding up his government's vote on a Gaza ceasefire agreement by reneging on the deal today. The BBC's John Donison is in Jerusalem.
It's a bittersweet moment, given that we've had so much suffering and so many lives lost over the past 15 months, and the fighting hasn't stopped.
President Biden bade farewell to the nation in an address from the Oval Office last night.
It will take time to feel the full impact of all we've done together. But the seeds are planted, and they'll grow and they'll bloom for decades to come.
Calmer winds in the forecast today will be a boost for crews battling the deadly Southern California wildfires. CBS's Tom Hansen is in L.A.
For the immediate future, you know, that's going to give firefighters the upper hand, but the reprieve is going to be short-lived.
Strong winds are expected to return Monday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter, on the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won four of their last five. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last five or six games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL. The Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterback's coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man. Great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a trip down TV memory lane and were a fan of the show Twin Peaks, this might pique your interest. The murder mystery drama set in the Pacific Northwest will be available on Blu-ray box set. In addition to all the seasons, there will be 27 hours of behind-the-scenes and extra features. The box set doesn't officially drop until February 3rd, but you can currently pre-order it on Amazon for a cool $56. Actors work odd jobs to pay rent before their big break. For actor David Schwimmer, one of the gigs included serving divorce papers after his freshman year in college, thanks to his lawyer mother. The Friends actor and star of the new show Goosebumps told Stephen Colbert he once served singer Rod Stewart with divorce papers. Apparently, Alana Stewart, Rod's wife at the time, no longer wanted his body or thought he was sexy. Goosebumps is available to stream on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. I think we will see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. Less windy, too. Our high today right around 30. Tonight, down to 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, 35. And then, hang on, it's going to get really cold as we head into the last half of the weekend and into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive.
Papa Daddy's. Okay. Karen from the 920 says, wow, Cherry Pop and Daddy's has a whole new meaning, and now that I'm an adult, I can only imagine what my mother thought when I was listening to them as a child. And it's so funny when you're young, you always think your parents don't know anything about like rock and roll or sex or whatever. So you always feel like you're putting one over on them. I'm sure they knew. Drake from Green Bay, that's the 920. He says, when I sell a vacuum, people ask me how often to change the bag. I say the vacuum bag should not be NFL regulation full. It should be Tom Brady full. Think about that, Conrad. He's a cheater.
I think that's a great comparison.
I forgot he was a cheater. I didn't even
he jokes about it. Like, you know,
because he can do that because he's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's making $375 million over 10 years to go. That was a good pass. Drake from Green Bay says everyone understands. They get the Tom Brady thing. That's right. Text us at 855-752-4842. You can let us know whatever you're thinking about the show. It's great when you guys contribute, or let us know your least favorite band name. We've had some good answers so far. You can let us know on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under WISS, Nightlight with Beach Chihuahua, and WGBW. On YouTube, WGBW or Civic Media, and on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
That's good. Get a hold of us. Just do it. However you do it, send us a letter in the mail. Catch up on your correspondence. This is exciting, folks. I have a guest that I'm very excited to have in the studio. I've known her for 9 years now.
9 years.
9 years. But not as an author.
That's correct.
I met you. You were an actress at the time. And we were both in the same movie. And we've stayed in touch. And now you have your first book. Her name is Jody Hinman. And she wrote a book called... The hole they dug for you. I keep wanting to say the hole I dug for you.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's creepy.
Do that. I know.
What's a creepy title?
Yeah. It
is. Yeah. So how are you doing? First of all, you drove all the way from the UP to be here in Green Bay. That's exciting.
Yes, I really wanted to have the in studio experience.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's more fun this way.
More fun. Exactly. Yeah. Is this a trip to the big city for you? You live in the UP.
No.
Okay.
I lived in the Detroit area for almost 20 years. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been around a bit.
I've been around a bit.
Yeah. But the UP is nice. Yeah. It's peaceful up there. It's serene, would you say?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. I'm really enjoying living there.
Okay.
My husband is actually from there and I have family roots there as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My grandfather was born and raised in Crystal Falls.
Where is Crystal Falls?
So that would be, it's more central.
Central UP?
Central UP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in the Iron Mountain area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a beautiful area.
It is.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about the UP, but first let's get this out of the way. Full disclaimer. I met you on the set of Aquarians, a film that my friend, Mike McGuire, Conrad, I still can't talk tonight.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're here on a really bad night, Jody. Just letting you know. Mike McGuire made a film called Aquarians in Marinette. And I shot a film there a couple decades ago called The Godfather of Green Bay. I thought, I'll never act in another movie in Marinette, Wisconsin again. Well, lo and behold, here comes Mike, who's a native, and he shot his film there. So it was really fun to be part of that as well. And that's where I met you. You played my wife in the movie. Do you remember your name?
I do. Mrs. Marks.
Mrs. Marks.
Jean.
Did they not give you? Okay, they did give you a first name.
Jean.
I was Tom Marks, a former high school teacher to the boys, and you played my wife. We got to do a church scene together, which was fun. Yeah. We had some marital issues in our short time together, even though it was a fictitious marriage. We had some issues.
You were kind of gruff.
Was I gruff? Was I inattentive? But anyway, that was fun. So that's how we met. We kept in touch. With the occasional, how's it going? What are you working on? I know you were trying to write back then too. And what I'm so excited about, Jody, is that I meet so many people that say, I'm working on something. I have an idea. Everybody has those, right? And those are great to have, but you just followed it through. And now you are a published author. And I think that is so cool. So congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, tell us about the book, The Hole They Dug for You. It sounds creepy. I'm guessing it's a mystery.
It is. It's not as creepy as the title would
suggest.
Indicate, yes.
Okay.
The story is about an artist, Ellie Bauer, And the story picks up about a year after her husband has died unexpectedly from a heart attack. And at this, when the story picks up in the beginning, she's just now coming out from underneath the dark cloud she's been living under since the loss of her husband. And she's out in the woods. She's looking for her dog who had run off. And she comes across a group of nefarious men.
Okay.
And they're up to no good.
As nefarious men often are.
They are up to no good. And they are an exacting revenge on someone. And Ellie actually comes to his rescue. And the story is about what happens after that.
Okay.
She gets herself in a really dangerous pickle. And you see what develops and how she gets out of it. If she gets out of it.
Yeah, don't give away. No spoilers.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about Ellie. Ellie Bauer, your main character.
Ellie is, as I said, she's an artist. And she is a very lovely woman. Salt of the earth, as good as they come. She thinks of other people before herself.
Okay.
And does for others. But she's had a very rough upbringing. She comes from an abusive family situation. So she's out of this, and she's kind of leading a sheltered life for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a while.
Until she sees something she shouldn't see.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's
is
right.
Ellie based on anybody?
No, she is not.
I noticed the first line when I was reading it said she lives on a 40-acre spread in the UP. I was like, oh, this is Jody. I don't know how many acres you own or what. But but there's a little bit of all of us in the characters we write, I think. Who is Ellie based on, if anybody?
Ellie is based on no one.
Okay.
There may be, she's a little bit of a spitfire sometimes, which... I've been told once or twice that might apply to me, but I grew up with three brothers, so you know how it goes. You have to be a little bit tough.
Yeah, exactly. Spitfire's good. It's that's not a terrible thing to be called. I think
it runs in the family.
Yeah, the family full of Spitfires.
Yeah, the females. Right. You know, we're nice until you cross us, I guess.
Yeah, good to know. So let me ask you this: when you're writing a character. And like I just made that assumption that, this is Jody because she's in the UP and she lives in a serene setting. This is Jody's life. Do you worry about people thinking it's you? Like you just said, you know, Ellie has abuse in her background. I know when I write characters, I'm like, oh, are people going to think this is me? But we pull bits from every character. But do you ever feel like you're kind of putting yourself too much out there when you write characters?
Sometimes, but I think we, when we write stories, we pull from maybe a little bit from ourselves, but from other people we know,
right?
Different experiences we've had. So she's really based on no one in particular.
Okay. Full disclaimer. where did you get the idea for the book?
Well, the idea, as you had brought up, we had worked on that movie, Aquarians.
Yeah.
And I worked on two film projects that year. The first was that movie in January of 16. And then in December of 16, I worked on the Northbound series, season two. So by the time spring rolled around, I had all this creative energy and no outlet for it. And like you were saying, usually there are opportunities where we live, in the UP especially. So I thought, well, what am I going to do now? I've got nothing. And I had all this creative energy. And the story just came to me one day. And I saw it kind of like a movie in my mind. But I didn't know what to do with that.
Right.
Because I'm not a movie maker. I'm not an author at the time.
Right.
And so what do I do with this? So I spent about a year thinking about it off and on. And the story never really left my mind. So I thought... I've either got to do something with this or just abandon it altogether because it's swirling around in my brain off and on and going nowhere until I actually either do something or just let it go.
Yeah. So what do you do? What's your process then? You have this idea. You've never written a book before. Do you have people you bounce it off of? Do you have people you run your idea by? first? And who are those people? Are they actual writers? Are they just family members?
Okay, so in my case, I had what I call beta readers. So I had three people who I had read the manuscript because they were people I know and trust. Okay. Who would give it to me straight.
Yeah. Which are hard to find.
It's hard to find. But the reason for that is you want to know, are you on the right track with the story? Is it appealing to the people who like that certain genre that you're writing for? And that feedback is really important. And you have to really trust the people you're passing your manuscript off to, because it's like handing your baby off to a stranger. Yeah. It really is. And you're really opening yourself up to that, to being criticized. But you need that. You need, whether it's good or bad, you need to hear it.
You can't move forward without it, really, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you kind of get at a stalemate, and you're like, is anybody going to like this?
Right.
I don't know. So the feedback is good.
Yeah.
And then you can move on once you have that.
My guest is Jody Himnen. She's the author of The Hole They Dug For You. What genre? I keep calling it a mystery. Is it a mystery? Is it a suspense or just a drama?
Suspense.
Okay.
A little bit of a thriller, mystery, all rolled up into one. Yeah.
Okay. Where can people find it, Jody?
People can find this at Amazon.
Amazon.
Okay. Yes.
And you're getting this is exciting. We just pulled this up. You're getting a 4.9 stars on Amazon. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think you'll take that.
I'll take it.
And on the other one, the other site, you were getting a 4 out of 5. And I thought that was very telling, because you have 2 5-star, 2 4-star, 2 3-star. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people that know you are going to, or any writer for that matter, they're going to give you 5 stars unless they secretly don't like you. So the fact that a couple people gave you 3 stars, that tells me it's an honest assessment. So 4 out of 5 stars in your first book, I don't think that's too bad, right?
I'll take it.
All right. So talk me through how long did this take to write?
Well, I'd say the first draft went pretty quick. Once I wrote the first chapter and then just kind of left it alone for months and months. And then once I picked it up, the first draft went rather quickly, but it was basic. It really needed more to it. So I would put it away for a while and come back to it. Enhance it some more, make things better.
Yeah.
You know, each time I edited.
Sure. So, like, the first time you sat down to when you actually submitted it, what kind of time period are we talking about there?
Well, I think I first submitted it in 20. It was a while 2020. Ago.
2020. Okay.
2020. And I submitted it to a literary agent, and they didn't pick it up. And that's normal. It was rather rough.
Mm.
So in hindsight, that was perfect, because it needed more work, for sure. And then COVID came around, and I was ready. I felt I was ready to submit it, but literary agents were just, like, not open to any submissions at all.
Mm.
So then, like, well, now what do I do? And then I decided to self-publish.
Okay.
I decided I'm just going to go that route because I have more control over the situation.
Right.
So...
All right. That's pretty good. That's fast turnaround, too, I would say, for a book. It sounds like if you submitted it in 2020, it took you like 2 years or less.
Well, I started writing it in 18. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
While,
that's impressive.
It is a process.
Okay. Jody Himnen is here. Author Jody Himnen. She wrote the book The Hole They Dug For You, which you can find on Amazon. We'll talk more to Jody about her process and about her book. And then I want to find out more about the UP. And what you're watching on TV. Are you ready for that?
Okay.
Jody Himnen is here. This is Peach Wabba Nightlight. Anders Lindwall is here at 7:20 talking about his film Green and Gold, which he directed and co-wrote. That'll be fun as well. It's all about storytelling tonight and all about the UP. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim from Appleton says Uriah Heep is an old school band name. It is. But do you think it's a bad band name, Jim? I do remember Uriah Heep. I don't know. How was that come up with? Like, how did people come up with that? Bridget, she's in the 818, says Limp Bizkit. Very, very strange. And then Bridget continues, TMI, too much information. I mean, most of these suggestions tonight involve male.
Yeah.
Genitalia. It's not
all sex related names.
Pretty bizarre. Like. Except your yours did too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Toad the Wet Sprocket. Mine is the most innocent. Although that has something.
Yeah, what does wet sprocket mean?
I don't know. You want to Google it?
I don't know if I do.
What, you think their FBI is gonna open a file on you or something?
I don't know.
All right. Anders Lindwall, director of Green and Gold, will be here at 7:20 talking about his new film that opens January 31st. There is a Packer connection, folks. So, and it looks like just a really fun film, heartwarming, poignant, very anxious to see how the film plays because there are so many movies that are set in Wisconsin. And I guess, you know, it's a toss-up. You know, some do well, some don't. But I think Wisconsin is very relatable, typically. I think we're sort of like, we're the kind of the fabric of America, if you will. Would you say that's accurate, Jody?
I would agree with that.
You're the UP. That could be Wisconsin, really.
People are kind. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. All right. That is the voice of Jody Hinman. She's the author of The Hole They Dug for You, a new book that you can purchase on Amazon, set in the UP where Jody is from. And it's reviewing well on Amazon. She's self-published, which seems to be the route a lot of people are taking these days.
Yes.
And I've had self-published authors on this show at times. And, you know, I've read part of their books and I've gone, I wouldn't be reading this if people didn't self-publish. I think it's just such a great option that we have that now, right?
Oh, it's a wonderful option.
Yeah.
And you have so much more control of your
right.
product that you're producing.
Yeah. You could just write anything and publish it, right?
Well,
are there
well,
people
you could, I mean, it, but it is a process. It is professionally done. You know, don't get me wrong. You don't just slap it out there. You know, you get a professional editor and all that.
It's right.
Like an indie film, you know.
Sure.
You're responsible from beginning to end. Whether you do those tasks or not yourself.
Okay.
It remains to be, you know, seen. But you are responsible.
It's always so important, I think, too, to have an extra set of eyes or people that, as you said before, shoot you straight and really are honest with you. Because at the end of the day, criticism is hard to take, but you want people to read it and enjoy it. And you want to be able to write another book, and you want to have the motivation to do so, right?
Right. Right. I would not want to put something out there
that
would embarrass me, myself, you know.
Correct.
Right.
So we talked about how long it took you to write this. How long was the story inside you before you decided to put pen to paper, so to speak?
The story was, it took about a year for me to do something with it. Yes. Because I wasn't sure if I wanted to write it as a book. Or if I wanted to write a movie manuscript.
Screenplay, right.
But I eventually decided on the book because I really liked Ellie and I really wanted to just dig in and deepen with my characters. And
you can be so much more detail-oriented, in a book, I think, than you can with a screenplay where you have to hit certain beats. Right. All right, so if the audience will indulge me for a minute here, I just want to geek out on some writing talk. Talk me through your writing process. Do you write every day or when the mood catches you? Do you have a place in your house you like to go to write? Do you have coffee, tea? What do you do? Talk me through Jody's process.
Okay, so we did set up a room in our house. We call it the writing room.
Okay.
At first, I had this little itty-bitty table and my laptop, but we eventually put a desk in there and made it comfortable. And I write most mornings. And I'll write for several hours and then I'll go work out or whatever, take a walk, and then the wheels start turning again about what I had just written. And then and then I come back and they maybe enhance what I've written.
Okay.
And yeah.
Just tweak it and
just
keep
just like making it better.
Such a process. So in the morning you're fresh. I think most writers that I talk to anyway seem to be more fresh in the morning. Like to get up, get that coffee going. You're also write out of like REM sleep or dream world, and you can kind of translate creativity to the page. Do you find that?
Well, sometimes I will wake up with ideas and have to quickly write them down before I forget.
Sure.
So yeah.
All right. And then do you have, does living in the UP spark any kind of creativity? I've interviewed a few other writers from there. There are filmmakers from the UP. And I have this kind of romantic vision of the UP. I live very close to the UP, right across the river, so I'm not that far away. But do places like that enhance creativity where you feel kind of, not Iron Mountain is a city. You're not out in the sticks, but does it enhance creativity in any way?
Well, sure it does. The area that I live in, it reminds me of quite a bit. It's quite a bit like the area I grew up in.
Okay.
So when I started working on a few film projects, I got inspired, just like the fresh ideas. I don't know, the area just sparked a lot of memories from where I grew up in the country.
Okay.
So it all just kind of blended together.
Connected.
I feel connected. Yeah. And yes, when you're out for walks and looking at nature, sure, ideas come to you, and it's fun.
That's great. And what authors have influenced you, Jody, would you say?
Well, I try not to be influenced by other authors.
Sure.
But I am currently reading Freida McFadden. She's great with twists and turns.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
All right. Hold that thought. We're going to do the news. Sure. We'll have a couple more minutes with Jody when we come back. I'm going to also ask you what you're watching on TV, which is what I ask everybody who comes on the show. So have something ready.
All right.
All right. Jody Himnen is here. Anders Lindwall joins me at 7:20 to talk about his film Green and Gold, which opens January 31st. We'll be right back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with Melissa Kay from WFHR about Central Wisconsin news, and we'll talk to new state senator Jody Habesh-Sinikin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning starting at 6.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A last-minute crisis in the Gaza peace deal? That's the claim this morning from the Middle East. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
In a statement, a spokesman for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused Hamas of trying to, quote, extort last-minute concessions. It said the Israeli cabinet will not convene until the mediators notify Israel that Hamas has accepted all elements of the ceasefire deal. Hamas denied it has reneged.
President Biden took a jab at his successor during last night's farewell address from the Oval Office.
We need to amend the Constitution to make clear that no president is immune from crimes that he or she commits while in office. The president's power is not limited. It's not absolute. And it shouldn't be.
He hands over the reins to Donald Trump Monday. Firefighters still struggling to contain the wildfires that have devastated the Los Angeles.